was loud, annoying the hell out of him. He sat down with his back to the wall, where he had a good view of the bar. She was beautiful. He leaned his head against the wall and stared at her, not caring if anyone noticed. He was too damn tired to care. He was mesmerized by her, the way she moved, the way she talked to her customers, so easy. He didn't have that gift, and he never would. Bettina, one of the waitresses, appeared in front of him. "Reaper, you're back. It's so good to see you." She bent forward until her breasts nearly tumbled from her tank top. She wore it two sizes too small, and her red lace bra showed against its black fabric. "Coffee." One word. He hated even giving her that. He kept his eyes on the bartender, on Anya. She noticed the waitress at his table and was already pouring his coffee for him. Still, for some reason, there was a little frown on her face as she watched Bettina practically shove her tits in his face. He wanted to push the woman away, but that would require touching her. "Anything I can do for you tonight? Just say the word and I'll be happy to oblige." She smiled again, all predatory. Anya was suddenly there. She put the mug of steaming hot coffee on his table. "Bettina, we're packed tonight. You know what Reaper's order is, so get moving." Bettina looked shocked. She straightened immediately, glared at Anya, and then flounced away. Anya turned away as well, not looking at him, not saying one word to him. He had no idea what his body was going to do before his brain kicked in. He caught her wrist, preventing her escape. She stood facing away from him, taking a deep breath. He waited. She finally turned toward him, biting her lip, looking apprehensive. He turned her wrist over very gently, the pad of his thumb sliding over her delicate skin. There were marks already coming up, smudges, his fingerprints, on her skin, a part of him. That should make him feel like a fucking dick, ashamed of using such force. He was strong. He prepared his body every single day for war. He knew better than to manhandle a woman. He loved those fingerprints on her wrists. He took both hands, using his thumbs to slide over them, wishing his prints were tattooed on her. "You have trouble with those idiots at the bar. You look my way. Understand me?" It was an order. He didn't ask. The three were getting drunker, and they wanted trouble. They also wanted Anya. She nodded, and he allowed her to pull her hands away. She walked back to the bar. Bettina leaned into the bar, getting drinks for one of the tables. Deliberately, she'd chosen to slide in between the three troublemakers. One palmed her butt, squeezing and making obscene noises, his tongue out of his mouth, simulating what he might do to her. She threw her head back and laughed, pushing back into him with her ass. When she turned with the tray, she made certain her breasts brushed his arm. The bar had a bouncer they employed, Fateh, one of the newer prospects. He'd been in one of the schools in Russia with Tsar's brother Gavril. He seemed to be a good man. He never interfered unless a waitress gave him a signal. He didn't now. Reaper picked up the mug and took a sip of coffee. It was fresh and hot. He needed that. He stretched his legs out in front of him to ease the wound in his side, to ease the ache in his jeans. He shouldn't have spoken to Anya. He shouldn't have allowed her to put her hands on him. He could still feel her palms, just as if they'd melted through his shirt, right beneath his collars, and branded him to the bone. To the fucking bone. That's what she'd done. He touched his chest. He shouldn't have unzipped his jacket before going into the bar. But the blast of heat always got him when he came in from a ride, so he'd done what he always did. Now he wore her brand. He wanted her. He considered that. Let it settle in his mind. It wasn't an order to seduce a woman. It wasn't the school run by pedophiles and sick, twisted criminals forcing him to perform every sex act imaginable. This wasn't something contrived. For the first time in his life, his body chose. He chose. His choice was her, Anya Rafferty. She should have left while she could. Czar should have gotten her out of harm's way. He'd tried to save her, sort of. Now it was far too late, because he'd become obsessed with her. He wished it was Bettina. He could use Bettina and throw her away. She wanted that kind of lifestyle, but Anya held herself aloof. She was that elusive one, there but not really, unattainable. She didn't encourage or want her customers to put their hands on her. He took another swig of coffee. The good thing was, he'd come in so late the bar would close soon. He was tired, and he wanted to get some sleep. He'd make certain Anya was safe, and then hit the sack and sleep as long as his body would let him. He drifted, letting his mind wander, but like always, when he didn't go to a good place. He hadn't seen many good places. When he was 4, his parents had been murdered, and he'd been taken from his home along with his younger brother and 2 older sisters to a school to rehabilitate them and make them into useful tools for their government. It turned out that Sorbakov, the man behind the murders, was using the students in their particular school for his own twisted pleasure. He jerked awake, refusing to go there. Russia was a long way away. Sorbakov was dead and could no longer force them to kill for him. The survivors had banded together, forming their club, coming to the United States, to the little town of Casper, where they made a permanent home. It was Czar's idea. His woman lived on the coast, and he'd come to claim her. Her and every kid needing help for miles. Where Czar went, the rest of them followed.
"Honey, need another drink? Come over here. I'm feeling neglected."
Reaper narrowed his eyes when one of the 3 men called out to Anya loudly. She was serving another customer down toward the end of the bar. Preacher had hung it up for the night, leaving the closing to her. Most of the bikers were gone, just a few hanging on until the bitter end. Reaper didn't like it that the 3 hard-asses were still there. They were waiting for the bar to close so they could go home with the waitresses, or they were waiting for Anya to be alone. She sent a sweet smile to the biker. "One minute." She turned back to her customer, smiling at him. White teeth, a soft pink lipstick showing off that pretty bow of a mouth. He couldn't decide whether he liked her upper lip or lower lip better, but suffice it to say, he loved her mouth. He didn't love it when she gave that biker her smile. Very slowly, he drew his legs back from the long, sprawling stretch, pulling them from under the table so he could move fast if the man got out of hand. He glanced at Fete. The prospect was alert, already having marked the 3 as trouble. The call for last drinks had just gone out, so it was legitimate enough to ask for a drink. Just about everyone left in the bar was calling out, not that there were very many. An old man sat on the stool at the far end. His name was Bannister, and he was often in. He had long gray hair and a grizzled beard. He wore an old vest that had seen better days, but the man was obviously an independent, and he'd been in their world a long time. He rarely talked. He was polite, but he gave off the vibe that he wanted to be left alone. He finished off the last of his drink, but didn't leave. He turned toward the 3 hard-asses and just waited. Anya smiled at them, both hands on the bar, no leaning this time. "What can I get you? We're closing in 10 minutes, and I'm shutting it down, so last call."
"We're waiting for you, baby," one said. "I'm Deke. This is Trident and Skid."
She flashed another smile.
"Drinks. Another round of shots."
She nodded and turned away. One of them reached across the bar, making a grab for her hair. She was gone before he touched it, and his hand dropped away. Fate closed in on one side, and to Reaper's surprise, the older man did so on the other. All Anya had to do, if she felt unsafe, was raise her voice and call for help or press the little panic button behind the bar. Either way, Torpedo Inc. members would pour out of the meeting room and annihilate anyone threatening her. She worked for them. She was under their protection from anyone but him. He was the only one she'd need that kind of protection from, because he was right there, waiting to take anyone out who even looked as if they might harm her. Deke looked to his left, at the older man, and laughed, straightening up. He was a big man and knew it. Most likely, he hadn't been challenged very often.
Got a problem with me, old man?
His tone was belligerent. Anya swung around, put the glasses on the bar unnecessarily loud, and poured out the shots.
There you are. We don't tolerate trouble in here, Deke. Bannister is a regular.
She reached across the bar and put her hand on the older man's shoulder. Reaper hated that. More than hated that. She was touchy-feely. What the hell was that about? He'd never understood. Watching her, he knew it was a part of her makeup, and she'd need that. When she was with him, there wouldn't be touching other men. Not ever. He'd have to learn to touch her often, to give her that. What the hell was he thinking? With him? He was out of his fucking mind. She did that. She twisted him up until he couldn't think straight. He wasn't looking for a woman, an old lady. He wasn't looking to be tied up in knots. Things like this didn't last. Certainly not with a man like him. He was no prize. He was hard as nails, a killer, a scarred, weary man, needing to inflict pain on others and have it inflicted on him. What place was there for a woman with a man like him?
You want coffee, Bannister?
Anya laughed softly at the old man's expression.
Don't look at me like that. It won't poison you.
Deke, looking annoyed, tossed his shot back.
Let's go,
he snapped to the others, looking around the bar. He spat at Fateh's feet and then stepped off his stool, hitting Bannister hard with his shoulder.
Trash, Bannister said.
They'll never be more than that. Men like that find one another. You got anyone waiting around to make certain you'll be safe tonight? I don't like the way they were looking at you.
Reaper moved just enough to creak the floorboards.
Bannister spun around and then settled when he recognized Reaper and the torpedo ink colors. He nodded, relief on his face.
Good. You've got someone.
He started across the room toward the door. Reaper signaled to Fateh to go with him. It wasn't only Anya the three hardasses might go after. They were mad and drunk enough to pick a fight with the older man.
You got this tonight?
Fateh asked.
I saw the others leave out the back door.
Anya nodded, mistaking the prospect, thinking he was talking to her.
I'm good, Fateh. Thanks for your help tonight.
She glanced at Reaper from under her long lashes.
You don't have to stay. I'll lock up. Zar and the others go out the back door and lock that one.
For his answer, the same answer he'd given her every night he'd been there for over a month, Reaper went back to his table. He was out of coffee and lifted the cup. He needed the caffeine to stay awake. Anya brought the pot to him, crossing the floor and pouring him another cup. He'd had three now, more than he normally ever drank. Bettina and Heidi, the other waitresses, collected all the empties and put them in the dishwasher and then wiped down all the tables but the one Reaper sat at, and then called it a night. No one approached his table other than to bring him coffee or ask him if he wanted a drink again. They sure as shit didn't bother him to wipe the table down. He watched Anya walk back to the bar. It was a thing of beauty, the way the woman walked. Her blue jeans were tight, cupping her ass. His palms itched. His chest burned. Yeah, she'd marked him, branded him, the little witch. She was tall, with legs that went on forever, legs that would easily wrap around his waist when he picked her up and drove his cock into her. Her hair was gleaming under the lights, and her eyes were large and heavily lashed. He liked the end of the night when they were alone in the bar, and the night was all around them. She worked, and he fantasized, which wasn't exactly fair, but if he offered to help, she would have said no. He knew, because a few times he'd gotten up and put the chairs on the table for her. She hadn't liked it. He still did it, and supposed he would tonight, although it would hurt like hell when he raised his arm on his left side.
"What is it about me you don't like?"
Her voice startled him, shocked him. She didn't speak to him. He didn't speak to her. That was the unspoken rule between them. She was breaking some law between them. She wasn't looking at him. She was working behind the bar, cleaning up, counting the money in the till. She never took a dime or siphoned money off. He knew because he made code check carefully. Nothing with numbers ever got past code.
"Reaper, you started this by trying to get me fired. I need the job. I would very much like to know what I've done to make you try to get me fired. I can't afford to lose this job."
She did pause then, tilting her head, looking him straight in the eye. "You have the job." That much was obvious. Czar, for some bizarre reason, backed Anya, not him. That kind of thing never happened. He didn't want to think too much about what Czar was trying to tell him by letting Anya stay on with him. It didn't matter that Czar had thrown it on his shoulders, and he'd ducked giving an answer. Czar knew Reaper wanted her gone. She blew out a breath in exasperation.
"That's not what I'm asking."
"Leave it alone." It wasn't a suggestion. She looked hurt. God, he fucking hated it when she looked like that, and he knew he was the one to put that expression on her face. She turned away from him and got back to work, closing the bar. She didn't even throw her usual attitude at him when he put the chairs upside down on the tables to allow the mop to be run over the floor. He was going to have a word with Czar about the waitresses leaving before all the cleaning was done. Anya, or anyone else closing, shouldn't have to do all the cleaning. Anya was finished by 3. She normally was. She was very thorough, making certain everything was done for the next shift before she turned off the lights, caught up her coat and keys, and started out of the bar. Reaper did what he always did. He went through the back entrance and around the side of the building to wait for her in the shadows. Anya thought he'd left, that he'd gotten on his bike and ridden away, leaving her when she got into her car, like he appeared to do every evening. He looked carefully around the parking lot. She had no car. He stood in the shadows, arms crossed over his chest, waiting to see what she did. Anya glanced at his bike. The other Torpedo Ink bikes were gone. Reaper's was still in the parking lot. She'd seen it enough times to recognize it as his. More to the point, there were 3 others down the street. Reaper had seen them when he did a sweep of the road just below the parking lot. He remained in the shadows watching her. She pulled on her coat, giving a little shiver, glanced again at his bike, and then looked carefully around. When she didn't spot him, she started walking toward the highway. Not on the road, but using the narrow trails and the grass, winding through lots to take her where she wanted to go.
"Hey, wait a minute, sweet tits!"
Deke's voice called out.
"Where are you going?"
Anya swung around, still on the narrow path, but she looked as if she might run back toward the bar. She'd never make it. Deke and the others had spread out, and she could never get through them.
"I'm going home. Party with us tonight!"
Deke invited, moving closer. The other man with him, Skid, began to circle around behind her. Trident came at her from the left. Deke was closest, feet from her now. Reaper stepped out of the shadows. "You ready, baby?" he called. He kept his eye on the main threat, Deke. The man wouldn't like to be thwarted. The other two would follow the biker code and back their brother up.
"Hurry up, we don't have all night."
That was more of a growl. To her credit, Anya didn't hesitate. She started back to him. Deke stepped directly into her path and grabbed her arm in a vicious hold.
"She's not going anywhere with you," he snapped.
"I've been watching this little cocktease all night. She gets a man hard, and then she just..."
He broke off, screaming as the knife cut through his upper shoulder. It was thrown so hard, it went all the way in, so the hilt was resting against flesh.
"Get the fuck over here, Anya," Reaper said.
She ran around Deke, didn't look at either of his 2 friends as they converged on him and, just as he'd ordered, got behind him.
"You're dead! You're a dead man! Deke screamed.
Call Czar. Tell him there's three dead bodies he needs to get rid of. He'll send someone to do cleanup. Deke's being a whiny little bitch. I could have put the blade right through his throat. But that was me being nice. For you, Anya. Remember, I was being nice. He was careful to keep his voice low, conversational, sneering with contempt in the appropriate places. No need to call Czar. Savage, his birth brother, slid out of the deeper shadows. I'll handle this. You take Anya out of here. No need for her to see this. Go, Reaper. Ice stepped out from behind the building. His brother Storm was there as well. Preacher's lying up on the roof with a sniper rifle. He said Anya would have trouble with these pricks. Deke had stopped screaming and cursing. Now he and his two buddies edged toward their bikes. When they turned away from Reaper, they practically bumped into two more club members, Master and Keys. Master shook his head almost sadly. Our bartender is under our protection. Did you think we'd let you put your filthy hands on her? She was coming on to me all night, Deke defended. That true, Reaper? Ice asked. You sat in that bar and let your woman flirt with pretty boy Deke here? If she had, Reaper said, not denying Anya belonged to him, although what he'd do with a woman was anyone's guess. I would have fucking killed him right then. He kept his voice soft, but he heard her swift intake of breath. He had to remember she didn't know the rules of their world. She didn't understand the violence they'd grown up with, or the jobs they'd had as assassins for their government. "Get her out of here," Savage said again. Anya shook her head when Reaper turned to her. He didn't like the others doing his dirty work, but then she couldn't be a witness. "Let's go." He was gruff. He didn't mean to be, but he had no idea how to talk to a woman, let alone a woman like Anya. So far out of his league, he didn't know how to breach the gap. She shook her head again.
"What are they going to do to them? What's going to happen?"
"Let's go," he repeated. And this time he caught her upper arm in an unbreakable grip. "What happens next depends on them. We're not in it anymore."
"I don't want them dead because of me, Reaper," she whispered,
even as she let him drag her to his bike.
"Seriously, not because of me."
"If that happened, it would be because of what their intentions were, not anything you did." He handed her his dome, the small helmet he wore because it was the law, not because it mattered to him that his head might be saved if he crashed. "Put it on." It was the first time in his life he wished he owned a full helmet. He wanted her head intact if they crashed. He straddled the bike and looked at her expectantly.
"I can hitchhike."
That pissed him off. He let her see the anger building behind his eyes. "Get the fuck on." He waited again, staring her down. She bit her lip.
"My car broke down."
She glanced over her shoulder. The murmur of voices was low, but his brothers had surrounded the three men. Savage's voice drifted back to them. "Get my brother's knife, Ice." Yeah, that was his brother's, taking care of business, watching out for him, even when he was the one who was supposed to watch out for them. Satisfaction gripped him for a moment. Affection. He sometimes knew what that feeling was, but most of the time he couldn't feel, or couldn't identify the emotion when he had it. "Anya, look at me, not at them. That's over for you. You didn't see those three fuckers after they left. You understand me? No matter who asks, you didn't see them. They left the bar and they were gone. You chose to stay when you had your way out. That means you live by our rules. Get on the bike." He backed it out and waited. Reluctantly, she threw her leg over and straddled the bike right behind him. Close. God. He could feel her body heat. He reached around, caught her hands in his, and yanked her even closer, so she was welded to him. She locked her hands at his waist, and then they were flying down the road. He'd never had a woman on the back of his bike, not even Lana or Alina, the two female club members. He couldn't believe what it felt like. Her body fused to his,
The two of them connected to the bike, so they all three moved as one. Man, woman, machine. Anya might be afraid of him, but on the bike she trusted him implicitly, leaning with him, moving with him, her tits pressed against his back, her hands at his waist, so close to his cock he could feel it burn. The vibration of the powerful machine had never been so erotic as it was with her clinging to him.
Chapter 3 "Egg-taking station," Anya said against his ear, trying to shout loud enough that Reaper could hear her. The wind tore through her hair and whipped at her face. It felt cleansing. It was exhilarating. She felt more alive than she ever had as they hurtled down the road. She had never been on a motorcycle, but she felt like she'd been born for one. She closed her eyes and pressed her cheek against Reaper's back, against his colors. She never thought in a million years she would be flying down the road on the back of his Harley. From the first moment he'd come into the bar after Czar had hired her, he'd taken her breath away. The attraction to him had been so intense, she had hardly been able to work. He'd settled into a chair at the back of the room, and he'd stayed there all night. He'd drunk coffee, not liquor, and he'd watched her. After a while, she thought of herself as a mouse, cornered by a large cat. His gaze hadn't been friendly. There was nothing friendly about Reaper. Nothing at all. His eyes were dead. When he looked at her, she felt he could gut her and not even blink twice. His eyes were dark holes, surrounded by dark, thick lashes. Why had she noticed his lashes when he looked so remote, his face carved from stone, all angles and planes? He had scars on his face, dissecting the dark stubble on his left side from the corner of his eye all the way to his jaw, as if someone had taken a knife and carved a curving line down his face. Another line followed his angular jaw. Strangely, on his right side was carved a tic-tac-toe board with three X's in a diagonal in the squares. It wasn't a tattoo. The lines were scars. She was tall, not quite the same height as he was, but close. His shoulders were very wide, and his chest was extremely broad. His arms were defined with muscle, along with his narrowing ribcage and waist. His hips were narrow, his thighs strong. She looked a little too much, because she was fairly certain she could map out his muscles on paper. Okay, truthfully, she had. She loved to draw, and she had a sketchbook filled with renditions of Reaper. There were bikers in the bar every single night. She wasn't attracted to bikers. Not at all. Their world didn't appeal to her. She had promised herself she would move up in the world. She'd been doing that steadily. She had done it all herself, carving a place for herself by her fingernails. For a shelter kid, she hadn't done half bad. No school, but she'd managed to get her GED. She'd worked hard and saved money to go to bartending school. She figured she'd be the best bartender in the world, and she was well on her way. She hadn't shown Czar, but she could do just about any trick done by the best. As she moved up to better and better bars, the tips had flowed. She took a deep breath and looked around her as the ocean sped by so fast it was almost a blur. She was tired and had a long way to walk to get to her car. Truthfully, she was terrified of that walk. She knew wild animals were out at night, including mountain lions and bears. She thought maybe coyotes. She wasn't looking forward to it, but she'd done it a couple of times before. They turned off at Highway 20, and as they roared down the road, he dropped one gloved hand and covered both of hers, pressing them closer to his waist. She'd never been so aware of another human being. She'd never been so aware of her own body, the bike vibrating between her thighs, her mound pushed against his butt, her breasts aching, nipples on fire, pressed so tightly against him, rubbing with every lean of the bike. She loved riding on the motorcycle with him. It was masochistic being attracted to him. Insane, even. Most of the other club members were nice to her, distant but nice. She supposed all the other members could be considered handsome, But Reaper was sexy. He was raw power. Scary, dangerous. Whatever he did for the club, and she didn't want to know, it was hazardous work. When she first pushed at Reaper's chest, every member of the club in the back room had come to their feet, and they'd looked worried. For her. She knew immediately she shouldn't have touched him. Then he wouldn't let her go. And she'd been terrified. Right before Czar told her she still had a job, she saw a strange look pass between the club members behind Reaper's back. They'd gone from anxious to knowing. Amused, maybe. Something she couldn't quite interpret. The bike slowed, and Reaper turned onto the dirt road leading to the campground. She gripped his jacket and lifted her face so her mouth was against his ear. "I can walk in from here." How did he know where her car was? She hadn't told anyone she lived out here. It was utterly humiliating. He hadn't asked her how to get to her car. He hadn't asked a single question. She stiffened, suddenly aware she was alone with the scariest member of Torpedo, Inc. She didn't know a thing about him, other than he drank coffee and didn't like her. Her heart stuttered and then accelerated. She'd been so stupid. She'd been so worried they were going to kill Deke and his friends that she really hadn't thought about her own safety. That was so stupid and so unlike her. She was a planner. She'd planned out her entire life. When things had blown up in her face, she'd planned her getaway meticulously, even if it had been on the run. It was Reaper. There was no reason to be attracted to him, but she'd never had such physical desire for anyone in her life. She dreamt about him at night. Sometimes she fantasized about him during the day. The biker life wasn't for her, and she knew Reaper wasn't either. But just once, she wished she could have a night of blazing hot sex with him, the kind of sex women read and dreamt about but never really had. Reaper was that raw, that wild, that primitive. She knew he'd be raw, wild, and primitive in bed. Just once, she wanted to experience that kind of hot, carnal, erotic sex. The urge wasn't strong enough to risk her life, though. She had no idea what he'd do when he found her car. Best-case scenario, he'd give her a lecture and leave her there. Reaper wasn't given to lectures. In the month she'd known him, he hadn't said a single word other than coffee. In one night, he'd shattered his record, and most of it wasn't good. He really, really didn't like her, but the fingers covering her hand drove her nuts. He kept stroking the back of her hand with a gloved finger. She didn't know what it meant, but it sent little tingles of awareness, little electrical charges slithering through her body until she was coiled tight. She pointed to the right, and he veered from the main road to the campsite where her car sat, looking dilapidated, rusted and sad under the trees where she had been forced to leave it that morning. As soon as she knew it had given up, she'd set about hiking out to the main highway and then hitchhiking into town. Still, she'd been late for work, really late. Preacher had raised an eyebrow at her. He'd been swamped when she came in, but he hadn't said a word, not a single word. She had to put her hand on Reaper's shoulder to get off the bike, and he couldn't have failed to notice that she was shaking. She hoped he put it down to the cold night. She stepped away, removing the helmet as he turned off the bike and silence settled in the forest. Still straddling the bike, he looked around slowly. She hoped that meant he was going to leave immediately. "Thanks for the ride. My car gave me trouble this morning. It does that sometimes. I'll get to work on time, though," she hastened to assure him. "Why didn't you call? We would have sent a tow truck." She bit her lip. She couldn't afford a tow truck. He wasn't going to like her answer, so she remained silent. "Anya, let's get one thing straight between us." He swung one leg over his bike and remained sitting there, looking lazy, looking scary. There was nothing lazy or casual about Reaper, so that casual pose scared the crap out of her. She was still afraid to speak, so she nodded to indicate she was listening. She knew when someone said, "Get something straight," that usually meant she wasn't going to like what they had to say. There was a throbbing between her legs that shouldn't have been there. Reaper did that to her, even when he was being as scary as all get out. She was very aware she was alone with him out in the middle of a forest, with no one around them. "When I ask you a question, I want an answer. You got that?" She felt the familiar rise of heat. Her temper. She had one. She shoved it down, even though she wanted to tell him to go to hell. She'd gotten ahead, following her plan, and she'd done that by keeping her temper in check. She nodded because she didn't trust her voice. "The tow truck." He was looking into her eyes, noting her flushed face. He knew she was angry, knew she didn't like him dictating to her. He didn't like her anyway, so screw him if he looked down on her for not having a home or money. She lifted her chin. "I can't afford it. If I could, do you think I'd be living in my car out here? It's freezing at night." Why she added that bit of information, she had no idea. Probably because she was so angry at him, sitting there all lazy and superior on his bike. God, he was the hottest thing she'd ever seen. Why would she want the one man who had more issues than she did? And she did want him, desperately. Just one night of sheer bliss. Those hands. He was so strong. He knew what he was doing. Every time his gaze brushed anywhere on her body, it felt like a physical touch, hot as hell, lingering. He was such a bastard. He had to know he was affecting her. "You're living in that rust bucket?" She nodded. "I'm tired. Thank you for the ride, and thank you for saving me from Deke, although I'm not certain that throwing a knife at him was warranted. That was me showing restraint, just for you. Now, get whatever you need out of your car and get on my bike. I'm not arguing. I'm taking your ass to the clubhouse." A shower. Somewhere warm. That would be heaven. She'd been washing up in the bathroom at work. There was no shower at the campgrounds, and no real bathroom. For one second she was tempted. But she knew not to let herself rely on anyone else. She had to get herself out of every situation on her own. Anya forced a smile. "Really, thank you. I appreciate the offer, but I can't go with you. I swear I won't be late for work tomorrow." He was up and off the bike. He was a big man, huge, coming at her, a solid wall of sheer muscle, and he was coming fast. She backpedaled, stumbled, barely caught herself, no air in her lungs, and a frisson of fear creeping down her spine. She threw up one hand to fend him off, as if that would work. "Fuck it," he muttered, going right past her hand. "I'll send Lana or Elena out to get your clothes." He caught her outstretched hand, yanked her to him, and then she was upside down over his shoulder. She let out a girly scream that she quickly shut down, and then she punched him, hard, right in his ribs. His breath hissed out, and he flinched. His hand came down hard on her bottom, very hard. Outraged, she hit him again. He repeated the swat in exactly the same place, and fire rushed through her, spread. She didn't know if it was painful or if her temper had kicked in, or if he was so sexy, anything he did sent heat rushing through her veins and throbbing between her legs. He set her down next to the bike, swearing under his breath. His color was off, almost gray. She glanced at his ribs. She'd hit him, but this man was the enforcer of the club. She didn't know a lot, but she knew sergeant-at-arms meant protector of the club. He should be able to take a hit in the ribs without flinching. "Get on the fucking bike." "Stop swearing at me. It's a word. Doesn't mean a damn thing." "Then it should be easy enough to stop using it." "Anya." He said her name between clenched teeth. "I'm out of patience. I'm 48 hours without sleep, and I've had enough of being polite. It's not my thing. Now get on the bike. Open your jacket." His eyes were beautiful, so intense, hooded, shockingly blue, cold as ice. Right now, those eyes bored into her, and she couldn't help the shiver running through her body. She wasn't backing down, no matter how afraid she was. He was hurt. She knew he was. It wasn't a small thing, either. He looked like he might kill her if she continued to defy him. That didn't matter, either. She sighed. "I'll go with you if you open your jacket and let me see." "You'll go with me because I fucking tell you," he snapped. She ignored the macho bullshit. Willingly. He studied her face for what seemed like an eternity. His gaze drifted down over her body, touching on her breasts, the junction between her legs. Dwelt there for a moment, so she had to hold herself very still, so she wouldn't squirm with need. So she didn't give away the fact that she was damp and her clit throbbed for no reason other than he was the sexiest man alive. No, he was a beast. Still, every time he opened his mouth, he brought the hot factor down a notch. At least that was what she told herself, but then she could be prone to bullshit when it came to him. His gaze came back to her face. One hand went to the zipper of his jacket, and triumph burst through her. She'd outstubborned him. Well, okay, he'd conceded. She knew it wasn't in his nature, and he certainly wasn't a man that allowed a woman to tell him what to do, so what did it mean? She saw the blood, and her breath left her lungs. There was old blood, nearly dry, and new blood slowly seeping into his shirt. "Oh, my God! I'm so sorry. I wouldn't have hit you if I'd known." She'd hit him twice, in the same spot. Hard. He zipped his jacket up. His features pure stone. "Get on the bike." He slung one leg over and backed it up. "Right fucking now." So much for concessions. She slipped her leg over, forgetting everything she might need the next day, only concerned with the wound she hadn't seen beneath his shirt. Settling behind him, she wrapped her arms loosely around him, afraid of hurting him. He caught her wrists and jerked her close, mashing her breasts against his back. He pressed her hands into his waist tightly. She was forced to shift her body closer, so that the throbbing between her legs was pressed against him. Could he feel that? It was powerful, intense, insistent. The moment he started up the bike, and it roared, sending vibrations between her legs, she was afraid she was going to get off right there. Riding with Reaper was an amazing experience. She pressed her face against his back and gave in to her fantasies about this man. He was a man, hard as nails, protective as hell with the members of his club, especially Czar. Anyone with powers of observation could see that. She'd never had a home, never had protection. She'd never had anyone she could count on. The club members definitely were apart from everyone else, but with each other. They often joked or ribbed, and all of them watched over the two women, Elena and Lana. To think of being under Reaper's protection just for a night, to feel his body moving in hers, to have glorious sex, the earth-shattering kind, no matter how bossy he was, would be worth it. For a night. She wasn't the kind of woman to be in that world. She reminded herself often, every night, when she looked at him across the bar. Every single night. Czar and the other members of the club treated her fine, but most of the bikers coming into the bar had tried touching her inappropriately, called her names she really didn't like. Sweet Tits, the name Deke had called her, was the least offensive. Bettina had had sex with one biker right outside on the picnic table. Another time she'd let a man put his hand up her very short skirt, and if Anya wasn't mistaken, he'd gotten her off right there in the bar. Later, she'd given the biker a blowjob right outside around the corner of the building. Anya had gone out to get some fresh air and had seen them. The other waitress, Heidi, was just as bad. Both women wore either tube tops or halter tops with very short skirts to work. They got tons of tips and definitely knew how to handle the men coming in. Anya didn't understand why, when both women were so readily available. Most of the bikers flirted with her and gave her equally good tips or sometimes even better. She got along with both waitresses, unless... She squirmed, forcing herself to be honest. She'd detested it when Bettina had gotten it into her head to flirt with Reaper tonight. She'd never done that before. She would want to kill either waitress if they went somewhere alone with him. He didn't like her. She had to keep telling herself that. He wanted her fired. He'd almost gotten her fired. She had no idea why Czar spared her and let her keep her job, even though she'd been very late coming in. She knew it was a big thing for Czar to go against Reaper's desire to fire her. She closed her eyes and let the road take her. The sensation of moving with Reaper and the bike, it was perfect. She loved the way they took a curve, their bodies in perfect sync. Riding with Reaper, it never occurred to her that he could lose control of the bike. She couldn't imagine him ever losing control, but she'd want to try to... She broke off that thought and forced herself to think about how tired and achy she was. Her feet hurt. She hadn't slept much the last few nights. She probably shouldn't have given her extra blankets away, but she had an old sleeping bag she'd gotten from a thrift store, so she wasn't as cold as some of the men and women sleeping in the streets. Still, she felt as if she would never be warm again. The ride was over far too soon, and she found herself in the parking lot of the Torpedo Inc. compound. It had been turned into a fortress. A high chain-link fence surrounded the property. The building was intact but modernized, according to all the gossip she'd heard, and there was plenty, particularly at the grocery store in Sea Haven. Sometimes she drove there just to listen to the locals talk about the club. She got off the bike, feeling a little unsteady. He backed the bike next to a row of other motorcycles and shut it down. She looked at him uncertainly. She didn't know what to expect. She could see he was exhausted. And he had all that blood on him. He wasn't going to throw her on the bed and have his wicked way with her. In spite of the exhaustion, he still looked like sin and sex. Carnal sin. Animalistic. Primitive. Heat rushed through her to settle uncomfortably between her legs. That persistent throbbing stayed there. What was wrong with her? She wanted that. Dirty, wild, uninhibited. She wanted whatever he would give her. It would be something she would have for the rest of her life. One glorious night with a man who knew what he was doing. She couldn't stay here forever. She didn't fit in and never would. She wasn't looking for forever. Just one night. Her tongue touched her lower lip in a slow, sensual slide, thinking about tasting him. What would he feel like? She bet he was beautiful, thick. She bet he tasted like heaven. Her breasts ached. The tips were on fire. Thank God for her jacket. I'd like to take a look at that wound in your side. You a nurse? Why did he have to open his mouth? A woman should be able to have fantasies about the hot, gorgeous body she was perving on without him ruining it by speaking. She sighed. Nope, not a nurse. Just thought I'd help you out, seeing as how you took the time to give me a ride and all. So screw him. She didn't need or want his shit. She stayed silent. Two could play at that game. She just waited while he fiddled around with something on his bike. And then he gestured toward the building. She took a deep breath. He didn't like her. He wasn't going to jump her. Even if he did, it would only be what she wanted, a glorious night of sex and sin. She hoped they were really, really bad sins that would last forever. She knew her luck wasn't that good. The door opened into a large room with a curving bar, tables and chairs, a couple of couches, and more comfortable-looking chairs. She didn't get a good look at the series of doors because he led her down a hallway. Bathroom is right there. No one is using that one right now. A few of the brothers are sleeping here tonight. They might wander around naked. No big deal. Just know they do. He pushed open a door. You can sleep in here. Bed's clean. She'd heard about the wild parties. She knew a few of the women who had partied here. A woman would come into the bar pretending to want to see Bettina and Heidi, but Anya knew it was to try to get one of the men to claim her as their old lady. She studied the bed. Was it clean? She didn't want to be sleeping on sheets used for something else. Reaper didn't move as she slowly slipped past him. He filled most of the doorway, so her body brushed against his as she entered the room. Her heart accelerated the way it always did when her body got close to his. It was on overload, so stimulated. She wished she'd thought to pack her vibrator when she'd run. She hadn't had time to think of things like that. "Reaper," she said softly as he turned to go. He turned back and just stood there waiting. Thank you. It was really cold in the car. I appreciate you helping me. I won't be a bother. Give me your car keys. He held out his hand. She frowned, but found herself digging through her pocket for them. She didn't obey anyone. It wasn't her style, but his voice was gruff, mesmerizing. Somehow it seemed a little rusty, as if he rarely spoke. Going by the nights he'd spent in the bar, she was sure she was right. Just his talking to her made her feel special to him, even though she knew she wasn't. She knew he disliked her. She handed the keys to him. He turned away from her and shut the door. He didn't do it hard, but he did it firmly. She had the feeling that if he was on her side of it, he would have turned the lock. "Good night to you, too," she said loudly, just to piss him off. There was no answer. She didn't even hear him going down the hall. Looking around, she took in the room. It was small, a tiny closet, a built-in dresser, nightstand with a lamp. The bed was a double and looked inviting. She wasn't going there yet. She wasn't even sitting on it. She was too tired and would have fallen asleep. She wanted a shower, a real shower. She didn't care if she had clean clothes or not. If the men in the clubhouse could wander around naked, she could cover herself up with a towel, assuming they had towels. She was shocked when she walked into the bathroom and found a tub. Why would the club members think of putting in a bathtub? She found bath salts under the sink. They weren't the standard Epsom salts one would expect. They were actually good-smelling salts. She turned on the hot water tap experimentally. Light was already creeping through the window, the first few rays of dawn. It lit up the room, hitting on the full-length mirror attached to the door. This was a woman's bathroom. Reaper had said no one was using it. Did that mean, when they had their parties, this room was occupied by the women who came? The club members had sex with them in her bedroom and then used this bathroom? She inspected every inch of it. The towels were thick and fluffy, colored a soft apricot. They matched the apricot swirling through the shower curtain. The two female club members. This had to be one of their rooms, their bathroom. She sighed with relief and stripped. She stepped into the shower first, letting the hot water spray over her. She found really good quality shampoo and used it unashamedly twice. If she needed to replace it, she would do so gladly. She conditioned her hair. When she rinsed, her hair felt nice for the first time in weeks. She'd washed it in the sink, but she had so much hair she never felt as if she'd really cleaned it thoroughly. Sponge baths sucked. This was heaven. Pure heaven. Wringing out her hair, she looked through the various drawers and found several hair ties and clamps. She put her hair on top of her head, secured it, and sank down into the water. Pure bliss. She could stay there forever. She closed her eyes and put her head back and just drifted. The water was cooling when she jerked awake. Reaper was bent over the tub, one hand in the water, pulling the plug. She nearly did the girly shriek again, but managed to stop herself just in time. "Get out of there. Water's too cold." He sounded abrupt, annoyed. "I'm naked. You shouldn't be in here." Hadn't she locked the door? She couldn't remember. "Nothing I haven't seen before," he said and stepped back, holding out a towel. That killed any hope he was attracted, although he was a man. His gaze lingered on her breasts. So screw him. She'd give him a show if that's what he was looking for, although she didn't think so, judging by his stony features. She stood up, forcing herself not to blush when her entire body wanted to go red. She knew she had good breasts, high, rounded, generous. Her rib cage was narrow, her waist small, in proportion with her generous hips, which made finding jeans that fit difficult. And she certainly had hips. No lie. And he was looking at them. She resisted the urge to turn her back on him, because then he'd see her equally generous butt. She took the towel just as the door opened. Reaper glided between her and the door. "What the fuck, Savage?"
You don't just walk in when a woman's taken a bath. I thought Blythe went over the rules with you. Savage shrugged. He was a younger version of Reaper, just as hard, just as scarred, his blue eyes just as dead. You don't care about those shit rules any more than I do. Maybe not, but this is Anya's first night here. It's morning, Savage corrected. He glanced at her, and then his gaze jumped back to his brother's face. Want to take a look at those stitches? Doc gave me the antibiotics to give to you. Anya remained frozen, the towel pressed to her breasts. She didn't dare move, or Savage would see her in all her glory. It was one thing for the man of her dreams, who clearly thought of her as a burden he had to bear to see her, but an altogether different one for his brother to walk in on her when she was naked. Stitches. Had she broken open his stitches when she'd punched him? Good God! He'd just thrown her over his shoulder. Why did she have to punch him for it? Remorse hit hard. He might be gruff. He might not like her, but he'd rescued her. Stitches. Reaper, I'm so sorry.
Forget it.
His tone told her to shut the hell up.
Wait outside for me,
he ordered his brother. Savage nodded and, without a word to her, sauntered out. She closed her eyes and shook her head. She'd lived in shelters, places where there was little privacy, but men just coming into a bathroom. She had locked the door. She wouldn't forget something like that. She narrowed her eyes at Reaper. That door was locked.
Shit lock, babe. I put a couple of bottles of water on the nightstand by your bed. Waited for you to get out of here, but when you didn't, knew you'd fallen asleep. Too quiet.
It was unnecessary to come in. He looked thoroughly unimpressed and as bored as hell.
Depends on which one of us you're talking to. Get to bed. I pulled the privacy screen for you. It will keep the room dark. Elena and Lana are going shopping for clothes.
He turned and stalked out, leaving her standing there, the towel clutched to her chest, a little breathless, and her eyes wide with shock. He'd walked right in, right through the locked door, unplugged her bathtub, handed her a towel, and then stood in front of her when his brother had walked in. He'd gotten her water and pulled the privacy screen. She knew he was even more tired than she was, but he'd come to check on her. She wrapped the towel around herself and started back to her designated room. A man came walking down the hall, totally naked. He glanced up, saw her, made no move to cover up, and nodded before pushing open a door. Holy cow! That had been ice. He was impressive. She was never going to look at him the same way. Sheesh! He was built. She couldn't think about that. Not when Reaper had her tied in knots and she didn't have anything or anyone to help with the frustration. She found two extra blankets folded at the bottom of the bed, proving that Reaper had actually listened to her. She threw herself on the bed, face down, grateful for the bath, the room, the comfortable bed, even the new toothbrush she'd found in the drawer, still in the packaging. She didn't care if Reaper walked in on her, or she saw men with hot bodies walking naked through the halls. It was the best place ever. So much better than her car. She dragged a blanket over her and drifted off to the murmur of voices.
What are you doing with that woman? Savage demanded. Reaper didn't know what he was doing with her. He'd walked into that bathroom, knowing she'd fallen asleep. Knowing she would be naked, but the idea of her lying in cold water had been more than he could take. He pressed his fingers to his eyes. She's living out of her car. The car wouldn't run. That simple. Woman shouldn't be out there by herself. Sooner or later her luck is going to run out.
You let her put her hands on you, Reaper. Since she's been here, you haven't been acting like you.
What was he supposed to say to that? It was true. There was nothing he could say, because he couldn't even explain it to himself. You get rid of those assholes, the ones that tried to jump her? Savage shrugged. You put a knife in one of them. Sooner or later he was going to talk. Sad ending for them. Drove their bikes over the cliff about 15 miles from here. Bodies won't be found. You tell Czar yet? Savage nodded. Stopped by his house. Caught him and Blythe going at it. He smirked a little. Blythe was so much a part of their